All right, if you have your Bibles, turn over to Psalms 118. Psalms 118. I'm gonna preach a message tonight called Consider the Marvelous Workings of God. Consider the Marvelous Workings of God. You know, when you think about coming to the house of God and being with God's people, that is a marvelous work. Not just coming, but being with God's people. Because as a Christian, you want to be around other Christians because you've been born again. You've got something in common. You can remember that time where you trusted Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior. You remember how that he did a work in your heart, in your life. And even if you've been saved a bunch of years, you still look back and you say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the miracle of salvation that you did in my life." And it's just an amazing thing. But I'm gonna preach a message tonight with this title, Consider the Marvelous Workings of God. Now, right here in Psalms 118, in verses 23 through 24, it says this. It says, "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And so with that read, let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. And Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, that when I open up my King James Bible, I'm opening up your mind. And so, Lord, if I want to know what you think about things, or if I have a question about anything in my life, when I open your word and I study it and I read it and I consider it, Lord, I'm reading your thoughts. And so, Lord, I thank you, Lord, tonight, Lord, for this opportunity once again, Lord, to open your word and, Lord, and to preach a message, Lord, that you gave me from it. And so, Lord, meet with us tonight. Touch hearts here in this room. Lord, if there's one here tonight that's not saved, Lord, with all of my heart, I pray, God, that you would save them before it's eternally too late. And then, Lord, tonight, Lord, if there's a Christian here tonight that's maybe their heart's a little off and maybe their walk and the relationship with you is a little cold, and I pray, God, that you just warm it right up. I pray, God, that you just meet with us, Lord, tonight and just really... You just show out, Lord, and that'd just be wonderful if you did that. And so, Lord, meet with us tonight, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the Lord God uses His Word, the Bible, to do a mighty work in our lives, in each one of our lives. As I said to start with, if you can remember the time when you got saved, you know that was a mighty work that God did in your life. I don't know where you were or what your life was like before you got saved. I know we've all got a testimony of how we were before and then whenever God saved us. And we can all look back on that, and if we're thinking the right way and we're realizing how much of a miracle we really are to be saved, we know that was a mighty work. That was a mighty work. But God's Word is divided into the 39 books of the Old Testament, the 27 books of the New Testament. In the heart of the Old Testament, there are five books that deal with the great heart issues of man. And these books are Job and Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. These books don't deal with national issues or great world-shaking events of the human race or even of the nation of Israel. But instead, they deal with the heart issues of man. Now, the title Ecclesiastes, if you want to turn over to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, but the title Ecclesiastes means preacher. There are 12 chapters in this book, and all 12 chapters are combined to make one sermon. Solomon gives the introduction to this sermon in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, where he says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Now, this book deals with the subject of vanity, which means emptiness or useless, and the fact that only God can fill the emptiness of our lives and make us useful. The term under the sun means on this earth. And those two phrases or those two things, these are the two keys to understanding the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon concludes this great sermon by saying that everything under the sun is vanity, that life on this earth apart from God is empty. Now, if you don't have Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you really don't have a thing. You don't have nothing. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are lost and headed to hell. You may have a little bit of religion, but if you don't have Jesus living in your heart in the person of the Holy Spirit, because you've been born again, you ain't got a thing. You ain't got nothing, and you need to know Christ as your Savior. Now, I know that we may have folks watching online, and that's good, and I hope that as I preach this message that you'll let the Holy Spirit even speak to your heart about your need to be saved if you're not saved, or your need to be right with God as a Christian that's maybe walking far from Him. But God works in all of our lives, and He has a specific start and end date in mind for all of us. Many times whenever I was there at Lighthouse, I would try to relate that truth to those folks that God gave me to be the pastor over. And I would say, and I still mean this today, it's still true today, I would say that if I had this year's calendar right here in front of me and I thumbed through the months on that calendar, I just might run over the month and the day that God may take me out of. And that's true for any of us. We have a start date of our life, or the day we got saved, and there's an ending date, the day that God takes us out of here, the day that we die. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, God wants to start that good work of salvation in you tonight before you ever get to your ending date. He wants to save you if you'll let Him. And if you're saved, God wants you to be surrendered to His will in your life tonight so He can use you in the cause of Christ. What a blessing it is for us as Christians to be used in the cause of Christ. Amen. Whether you're playing a piano at the church that God's put you, my dear sister, or pastor up here preaching to us like He does, and we thank God for our pastor. You know, what a blessing it is to serve in the cause of Christ. But the book of Ecclesiastes, it is a sermon about life. I mean, it deals with the subject of vanity, and it tells us that only God can fill the emptiness of our lives. Now, before I got saved, that's where I was in my life. I always knew there was something missing in my life, and so I'm so thankful for July 14th, 1974, where I got born again by God's grace and out of His love and mercy. Because He took care of that emptiness.
Yeah.
Amen. I've had rough times in my life since that day. That's a long time ago. But you know, the Lord Jesus is always there. He's always walks with His child. He's always helping us and encouraging us and strengthening us and many times protecting us in this life. But turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 13 through 19, here's what the Word of God says. It says, "Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which He hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider. God also hath set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not over much wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city." Now look at the phrase in verse 13 where it says, "Consider the work of God." How much do you personally, as a Christian, as an individual, how much do you personally know about the work of God? Now that's a good question, because if you're saved, we know a little bit about the work of God. Hey, man, we might not know all of it, but we know a little bit about it. We know how it was when we got born again. We know how it is to serve God in a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Amen. We know that. But whenever you ask that question, What do you know about the work of God? I want you to notice what God's Word teaches us about His work. Number one, we can learn in John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29, that God's work is a saving work. The Bible says in John 6, 28, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he hath sent." I'm so glad that I've believed on him who he hath sent. I'm so glad that the day I did that and I believed on Christ, I took him as my personal Lord and Savior. I believed on him with all of my heart. I'm so glad that I can remember how I got born again and how he started working in my life because of my salvation, and my life started changing. My life started changing because of the great love of God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So the greatest work that God ever does is the work he does in our hearts whenever we get saved. His greatest work is the work of salvation. God has moved you here tonight for salvation if you're unsaved or unsure. And so God works to that end in our lives. And then in 1 Corinthians 2:14, we see not only that God's work is a saving work, we've seen that in John, seeing that spelled out pretty clearly. But in 1 Corinthians 2:14, we can see that God's work is also a spiritual work. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, "But the natural man," that's talking about the unsaved man, "the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." The natural man, the unsaved man, cannot discern or understand the things of God. That man, he may have a skull full of knowledge about religion, and he may be able to talk about religious things, but if he doesn't have the Lord Jesus Christ living in his heart, he is not going to be able to understand or discern what saith the Lord in his word. He's not. Why? Because the Holy Spirit does not live there. He's lost. He's the natural man. He's unsaved. He needs to get born again. That's why you'll run across a lot of people like that, and they'll argue with you over different things that they've read in the Bible. They think they understand, but they really ain't got a clue. Yeah. And but you take somebody that is saved, and they'll sit and they'll read the Word of God, and they'll cherish that Bible, and boy, they'll hold it close to their breast and say, "Thank you, Lord, for giving me your word. And God, help me to read that thing. Help me to study that thing. And then, Lord, help me to understand it." And so not only is God's work a saving work, and not only is it a spiritual work, but God says in his word that his work is also a higher work over there in Isaiah 55:9, where it says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways," this is God talking, "so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And so God's work is a saving work, it's a spiritual work, and it's a higher work. But then God tells us in his word that his work is also, and I like this part, and this is where I got the thought for the message, but his work is also a marvelous work. Psalms 118:23. "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." And so it is marvelous to see God working through us at the various times in our life. I mean, we know that he has our best interest in mind. No matter what we go through or where we go or wherever he leads us, he's got our best interest in mind. So the work of God is a saving work. It's a spiritual work, a higher work. And hallelujah, it's a marvelous work. And all four he did in the Christian's heart, life, spirit, and soul. God's done that in us. But as I was getting this message ready about the marvelous work of God, I noticed that as I was studying his word, I also noticed that, number one, that God's work is a powerful work. Oh, it's powerful. You think of what it took to save you. I mean, it wasn't no little thing whenever he birthed you into the family of God. I mean, you think about it, and if you're thinking right about it, if you know Christ as your Savior, you are a miracle where you sit. Yes, if you're born again, you are a miracle tonight sitting there in those pews. You're a miracle because it's a miracle that God would even save any of us. Yes, but he did out of his love. I mean, I said that so many times in the 20 years down there at Lighthouse, and I had one of the best deacons. He's like Brother Bobby. He's a good man, godly man, and he's the first one that actually said that years ago. And so that's always hung with me. He said he was taking testimony one night, and we was talking about being saved, and he said, "Pastor, it's a miracle any of us are saved." And I said, "Amen, Brother Buddy." Yeah. Amen. You are right there. But Ecclesiastes 7:13 says, "Consider the work of God. For who can make that straight which he hath made crooked?" I mean, earlier in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon made known his negativity when he said in Ecclesiastes 1:15, "That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered." Now he's telling us in chapter 7, verse 13, that God works in the crookedness as well as in the straightening. He declares that God's work is powerful because it is a powerful work. So without God under the sun or on earth, hey, life is such a mess that no one can straighten it out. Yeah. Has your life ever gotten a mess and you need God to straighten that thing out? Boy, I'm the first one standing in line for that because that's happened to me many times. But I'm glad to know that God's work is a powerful work, folks. I mean, God can straighten that which is crooked, and he can do all things. He can change lives because his work is powerful. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." So may God help us to never cease to believe that he is able, because he's able. So his work is a powerful work. But as I was thinking about this thought about the marvelous works of God, not only is God's work a powerful work, but I'm glad to know that God's work is a purposeful work. God's got a purpose for all of our lives. I used to say, and I'm going to say it here too, if you're here in this church, God has moved your life around, and he has brought you here to East Georgia Road Independent Baptist Church. He's brought you here. He's moved your life here. He's planted you here. And me and Pam can attest to that. Y'all have heard me give testimony about how God brought us here before we ever was in the first service. I knew God wanted us here. So God moves people's lives around. And God gets us to the place in our life to where we can serve him in the cause of Christ. And so God's work is a purposeful work. He has a reason, a purpose for all of our lives. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." So God has a purpose in all of our lives. For the lost, it's salvation. He does not want the lost to die in their sins and go to a place called hell. He doesn't want the lost to go to a burning hell, because that's where that lost man, that lost woman will go if they die without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so for the lost, it's salvation. That's God's purpose. For the saved is for us to be conformed to the image of Christ, and for us to be surrendered to God's will for our lives. From our earthly view, sometimes God's work doesn't make a lot of sense to us, but there is a purpose in all he does. In Ecclesiastes 7:14, God talks to us about prosperity and adversity. He says in verse 14 of Ecclesiastes 7, "In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him." So at times we think God is only working in the lives of those who are prospering. But listen to me, folks. God is working in the adversity just as much as He is working in the prosperity. I mean, you'll find in your Christian life that you will grow closer to the Lord through the hard times than you will through the easy times.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's kind of like having youngins. You ladies, y'all had youngins. If you toted that youngin around as a baby their whole life till they got so big you couldn't tote them, and you never let them get down and walk around, they wouldn't be able to walk if you toted them around till they was 5 and 6 years old. But you let them down, let them walk, let them fall down and bust their knees a little bit. You put some methylate on them knees. Who knows what methylate is? All right, you youngins don't know that. You really need to experience that. You need to experience it. But anyway, Mama put some methylate on them knees and blow it because it would burn. Amen. And she'd say, "Now go back outside and play." Amen. But God works in our lives through adversity. A lot of times more than He works through the good times. At the end of Ecclesiastes 7:14, the Bible says, "To the end that man should find nothing after him." Now this means that we don't know the future, and we don't. But I'm so very thankful that God does.
Yeah.
God does know the future, and my future is in His hands, and so is yours if you're saved. He's already got it figured out. I may not be able to figure it out, and a lot of times I don't, but I'm so glad that God's got it figured out. Hey, we cannot see beyond today, but we can know that whatever we're going through at this moment in time is in God's purpose for our lives as believers. But we just got to make sure that no matter what we're going through in this life, even no matter how bad it is, that we never put God on trial in our lives.
Amen.
Hey, God's already showed us that He loves us. He's already showed us, He sent His only begotten Son to die on an old rugged cross. He took our place. He had you on His mind and me on His mind when He drug that cross up Calvary's hill. He made a way that we could get born again. The day you got saved, He gave you the grace and the faith to trust Him unto salvation. And He birthed you into the family of God. And so God's already shown us that He loves us. Amen? So we do not know what the future holds, but we know God has a purpose in life for all of us who are truly saved. Look at Ecclesiastes 7:15. He says this right here. It says, "All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time?" Have you ever considered or wondered why something awful happened to a godly person? Sure we have. If you live for the Lord long enough and you've been in God's house, you get those special relationships where you learn to really love this brother or this sister. You ladies know what I'm talking about. You love this sister and you get close through the years and then something happens to that sister and man, it just breaks your heart, or that brother, and it breaks your heart for them. But let me just say, Solomon said he had seen the righteous go down and the life of the wicked prolonged. Let me just tell you something. He didn't understand. He was out of God's will when he was writing this. He wasn't kind of right with God. But most of us are so proud that we think we can make things happen through our own human ingenuity and personality. But in truth, everything does not depend on us.
Amen.
But everything depends on God. We just need to make sure that we love that brother, that sister that's going through hard times, and pray for them, encourage them, help them if we can, and be there for them. And so we must learn this lesson, and sometimes it's a hard lesson to learn, especially if it's you going through that or somebody you love going through it. Amen, it is.
Right.
And so let me just say this. God will teach us to depend on Him and not on ourselves. Every time I've ever depended on me, not depended on God, I fell flat on my face. I think I'll just keep depending on God. Amen. I might not be able to figure it out, but I know he can figure it out. And now number three, and I think I saved the best for last. I think so. I want you to turn over to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. Because not only is God's work a powerful work, not only is God's work a purposeful work in our life, but God's work, I'm glad, is a personal work. In other words, he knows my name, and he knows your name. But you look at Psalms 23, and I want all of us to read these six verses. And so let's read them. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, in this most quoted of Psalms, listen, there are 16 personal pronouns that God uses. He says, my, I, me, my, I, over and over. So he's making it personal for us. God wants us to understand that he is a personal God to us that are saved, to us who have been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The work of God means absolutely nothing to the lost, and at times not even to us unless by faith we personally receive it. Hey, we must know and believe that God is working in our lives. Just because the storm clouds are in your life or my life, and y'all know what Pam went through when we first got here with her head shaking. I mean, I know she was agreeable and she was agreeing to everything I said. Honey, a new shotgun, honey, a new rifle. I mean, she was agreeable with that, shaking her head and all that. But I got a little worried when she did this. I got extremely worried when she did that. But and I'm just fooling with her. But y'all know what she went through. And there's times that I come and sat here. And let me just tell you something. That pew didn't sit right with me sitting there by myself.
Yeah, you're right.
It didn't sit right. And I didn't like it. I didn't like it. But you know what? God's working. God was working. And God got her to the place that he needed to get her. And so the work of God, it's a personal work. And he does it in our lives. Look at verse Ecclesiastes 7:18. It says, it is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Hey, we need wisdom to make right decisions in this life. And wisdom, folks, comes to one person at a time, and it comes only to the person who trusts God for it. Yes, Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So God desires to do his powerful, his purposeful, and his personal work in our lives. And so I want to say in closing, will you allow him to do that in yours tonight? Allow God to do that work he wants to do in your life. Hey, we have to allow God, because God does not make mind-numb robots. He doesn't do that. He don't program nobody. God, hey, the day you got saved, you were a volunteer. Every one of us, if you're saved, you are a volunteer. You volunteered to trust Christ to be your Savior.
Sir.
And so God doesn't make any robots out of anybody. And so we have to allow God to do that. So do you have a personal walk and relationship with Christ? And is your life being divinely directed by God? And if you don't have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, take him at his word when he says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And that's God's marvelous work that he wants to do in our lives. It's powerful. is purposeful, and I'm glad to know it's personal. In other words, whenever he's working, yes, he does work in a crowd, and he thinks, well, I'm going to do something with that group down there in East Georgia Road, but he also looks in that crowd and says, I'm going to do something with Pam Lucas. I'm going to do something with Dean. I'm going to do something with Bobby. And I could go around and name everyone in this room, and God wants to do a work in our lives. We just got to let him do that. Amen? Amen? And I pray that you will. And I hope that this message tonight has been an encouragement to you. I hope it's been a help to you, my brother. And I hope that if someone's watching out there online and they're not saved, I pray they'll think about what's been preached tonight, this morning. We had a great message by the missionary this morning. I'm glad I'm addicted to Jesus. Amen. I'm glad I'm addicted to the Word of God. And I like being that addicted. Amen. But I'm addicted to her, too. But it's Pam. Now, she told me, she said, now don't get up there and joke about me. Too bad. I'm going to do it. I've been married to you too long. I want to get you. But anyway, I'm addicted to the Lord Jesus, too. And so I want to challenge you tonight that if, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's working in your life, hey, just hang in there. Hang in there. God ain't done yet. He ain't done yet. And he'll get you through it. He'll get you through it if you're going through a storm. And if you're not saved, if you're watching online tonight and you're not saved, you need to trust Christ to be your Savior. You don't know what you're missing by Jesus Christ as your Savior. You may have a little bit of religion, but if you ain't got Jesus living in there, you are lost, lost, lost. And so you need to trust Christ to be your Savior. So let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this message, Lord, that you laid upon my heart. I thank you, Lord, for helping me with it. I thank you, Lord, tonight, Lord, that I know, Lord, that you wouldn't impress a message on the preacher's heart if you didn't want to help folks with this thought, Lord, or with this wonderful truth that your work is a marvelous work. And so, Lord, I do pray, Lord, that you do a work, Lord, in the hearts and the lives, Lord, of the people here tonight and those that are watching online. Lord, I love these folks, and I know you love them more. And, Lord, we love Pastor. And so, Lord, even though I know that he's going through a rough time right now with being sick, and Jared is, and maybe Micah, and I know some others, Lord, I know they're going through a rough time. But, Lord, you're doing a work. You're doing the work. And so, Lord, please, Lord, touch our pastor. And God, raise him up and get him back here. You've already shown us, Lord, that, man, you can move mountains. You're doing that in Sean's life. And, man, I just thank you. Lord, I just thank you so much, Lord, for that, just the work you're doing in Sean's life. God, raise him up totally. Get him back on his feet and clear his mind. God, give him and Janet some good years together. And so, Lord, help him. Lord, he's a great man. But, Lord, I know that you're doing a work there. So, God, touch Pastor and touch lives here tonight. And, Lord, if there's one watching that's not saved, God, please send conviction of sin upon that person's heart and life. And, God, help them to see that their greatest need in this life is to be born again. And so, Lord Jesus, I love you. In Jesus' name I pray.